When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Episode 5, Busting a Gut Myth with the Mack Twins.
Welcome to the Alternatively Healthy podcast. I am your host, Becky Rabin, personal trainer, wellness coach, and founder of online wellness magazine, Alternatively Healthy. This is your high-vibe, soul-soothing weekly dose of wellness. Each week, I will be getting up close and personal, bringing you conversation and insight with some of the wellness industry's most renowned health practitioners, coaches, experts, and thought leaders from around the world. Through our podcast, we hope to give you all the information, resources, and tools that you need to help shape the healthiest and happiest version of you.
The Mack Twins are DJ and presenting twin duo and co-founders of The Gut Stuff. After becoming chief guinea pigs for the British Gut Project, where they discovered that despite having 100% of the same DNA, their guts actually only had 40% of the same microbiome, they set up The Gut Stuff to raise awareness about gut health and bring science to the people that needed it most. From sellout supper clubs to backing from big brands, these girls are well and truly putting the word gut on the map. Welcome to the show, ladies. I am super excited to have the Mack Twins here today, DJ duo and founder of The Gut Stuff. So we're going to be talking all things gut health with you ladies, aren't we?
Yes.
We're going to hear about your story a bit as well. But I think for me, this is something that is I'm really passionate about, because actually Alternatively Healthy started off the back of me having severe gut health issues from a bacterial food infection. And so I was like trying to heal myself. At the time, it was alternative methods, taking probiotics, having acupuncture, resetting my gut, everything like that. So for me, it's something I really, really want to home in on, because after years of struggling with IBS, food intolerances, and actually realizing that a lot of it is probably actually just my gut health, which is also linked to like the stress and everything else around it. I've noticed that there's obviously a huge amount of people in this industry who do have issues with those things. So super excited to have you girls here. And firstly, I guess introduce yourselves. So Alana and Lisa. Actually, which one's Alana? Which one's Lisa?
I'm Alana. You can tell Alana because, I mean, obviously this is null and void on a podcast, but Alana's teeth are better and she's married. So everyone just goes ringing teeth.
Or Lisa's more chatty and I'm more...
So duo as the Mack Twins first, because it's quite a different story as to how you then got into doing the gut stuff. So tell us about you two as a DJ duo.
We started out presenting for like a student magazine, and then the BBC sort of headhunted us from there, and we sort of fell into presenting, and it all happened super quick. And then our dad passed away suddenly, so we moved home to be with our mum, and we sort of down tools and thought, right, what is it that we want to do? Yeah. And we want purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose, because entertainment industry is a little chaos sometimes.
Yeah.
And it was also changing very, like, before when we first started presenting, it was very much that shiny floor show in front of a camera.
Yeah.
Here we are, this is what I'm presenting things to. And then online started happening on YouTube, and the role really changed. And as a presenter, you could talk passionately about what you were interested in, rather than just commentating on things that were happening.
Yeah. And this was never us. Like, we did, and we've done that sort of thing, but it just was never us, that sort of to camera, really.
Just sweet, for the sake of it,
So, yeah, and then we got Virgin Radio after that, and then we DJed, like, everywhere all over the world, which is mental. And then...
And the DJing sort of took off quicker than the presenting did, really. Most presenting, then the DJing did, because when we started on radio, they were like, you need to play out. So we learnt to DJ on vinyls, actually.
And it was a struggle at first, because we've got opposite music tastes.
Oh.
So that was like our gate at first, because we were like, well, what do we play?
Yeah.
Because I don't like anything she likes, and she doesn't like anything I like. So literally, we were fighting in the booth. Like, I'm like, you play that techno remix of Spice Girls one more time, I'll see you. It's great. She still plays it whenever she can. And then we realised, actually, that sort of, like, creative tension, if you want to call it, like, a wanky sense, and actually just fighting in the sort of realistic sense, is what's made us, I think.
Yeah,
because we
amazing.
Tag team in every 5-10 minutes now. We've sort of got a bit of a thing. Alana's a better DJ than I am, which I'm willing to put my hands up and say.
Lisa's a better presenter than
she. Don't get us, yeah. Getting on today. And then with the gut stuff,
yeah,
we were volunteering for Twin Research, which is the sort of research facility at King's College,
yeah,
because twins are always a perfect constant for medical research because we've got the same DNA but with environments. So it's like the
mm-hmm.
basic nature nurture question can be figured out with twins. So we just started it. You don't get paid at that because you
yeah.
basically get like a
free
book test.
Yeah.
This is great. And also you get like, it was fun when we went because it was like, he tests your bone density and like mental dexterity. Alana's got denser bones and I've got better mental dexterity.
Oh, it was like, how many animals can you name in 30 seconds? I was like, dog, cat. Lisa was like, ostrich. Like, literally reeling
oh
them
god.
Off. I was like, oh god. So Lisa was much
so
better.
We learned loads about physiologically what was different between us, which
yeah,
is really
even
good
though
because,
you're, yeah.
yeah, because people want us to be the same. And actually we were like, well, her bone density is actually
yeah.
And then Tim Spector was like, at the time, he was like, do you guys want to be the first people in the UK? So the American Gut Project that just happened, which was like the Human Genome Project, where they could sequence DNA. They
uh-huh.
realised that they could do that with your microbiome and the gut.
Okay.
So actually, the British Gut Project hadn't started because we had to send our samples off to America.
Mm-hmm.
So he was like, "Do you want to be
this
the
was
first
like
people
4 years
to do
ago.
It? This was ages ago.
So right when it, well, no,
yeah,
like, it not was
it.
Not,
yeah.
yeah.
And we were like, "Aye, what do we have to do, Tim?" And he was like, "You have to send your poo off every day in the post for 2 months." And I was like,
"Oh my god, every
right,
day?
Yeah.
What if you don't poo every day?"
Mate, literally,
especially if you've got a bad gut, you don't
yeah,
poo
yeah,
every day.
Yeah, and then,
do,
yeah, then we
that.
Had to she's like a regular Sally.
Oh my god!
And then we had
years.
To have 3 colonoscopies, which actually they don't do now because it's supposed to be dangerous. The thing is that that would be fine, but the doctor was really hot, so he literally had a camera at my bum going, "Oh, where do you live? I live in Kentish Town." And I was like, "Tim Spector, if nothing good comes out of this research, I swear I'll have your head."
So we did like 1 month. It was the month of August. They were like, when's a good month to eat rubbish?
Yeah.
The processed foods. We were like, Edinburgh Festival, we were doing a DJ show up there for the whole month. So we literally
eat really bad food.
All processed food.
Oh,
drink lots. It was genuinely, the first week we were like, this is amazing, getting the ciders and chips. After about 2 weeks, we were
and that's why
so well.
I got stuff started doing really well. Everyone was like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, good. Because I literally put myself through hell for months of medical research.
I don't know.
Yeah. So we did a month of eating really bad, tested all our microbiome. Then we had a month of doing HelloFresh food
yeah.
cocktails.
So
yeah.
like
variety.
Loads of a variety. And inulin powder. So
yeah,
for
yeah.
fiber.
I
and special
that
bars.
To go to the toilet.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm.
It does work. And then they obviously realised from our bodies that we have 100% the same DNA, but our microbiomes at any one time are only 30 or 40% the same.
That is crazy.
And that could explain, like, I've had arthritis since we were 7.
And
this
I was stone heavier at the time. And we don't really
wow.
talk about this bit, but Alana had loads of a type of bacteria called Crisponsinella, which is linked to slim people. Now, pharmaceutical companies are literally ching, 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 ching,
yeah.
ching. But it's really interesting for us because I'm also stone heavier and we never knew, even when we're on the same diets. And
that's
it's because
so
of the way my bacteria
and arthritis interact. Things because
yeah.
my mum's got fibromyalgia.
So is our mum.
Same. It's
we're like the same.
Yeah,
people.
Yeah.
It's linked to trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is getting interesting, so we're going to talk about trauma because
yeah.
we found something out today that's really interesting about both of us. But so that's how you started the gut stuff.
Yeah.
You wanted to help.
When we were going through the research, we were meeting lots of different doctors and scientists in each field.
Yeah.
And then we were like, right, this is like massive, like spans over
yeah.
loads of different fields. So we were like, oh, why don't we interview the scientists? Because why doesn't it work? First of all, we were like, Tim, why does no one know about
yeah.
this? And there was a few reasons, like the pharmaceutical companies weren't making money out of it because it was so personalised.
Yeah.
The research is still new because 10 years in science years is like 3 minutes in our
mm-hmm.
time.
Yeah.
And also, the language is so inaccessible that no one's really talking about it apart from some broadsheets. And again, it was still quite a middle class hoity-toity
yeah.
thing, kombucha kefir.
Yeah.
And
your doctors
from, like,
don't want to own, like, don't even want to go. And my doctor was
no.
literally like, "You've got a bellyache."
It's woo-woo.
Well,
yeah.
yeah.
People
they
think
don't even
want
to go
stuff.
There because it's different
yeah.
ways of thinking. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did the YouTube series, and we managed to somehow get at the 6 top scientists in the world, because we were like, well, they won't want to speak to us, we're not Radio 4, and actually we were like, we do want to speak to you because you reach a younger audience.
Yeah.
And then so 6 episodes turned into 32 episodes, and then we set up the website because we were like, ethically it'd be good to have somewhere for people to go.
Yeah.
Like, we were just posting new science paper on the website initially, and it was looked like shit. Alana designed the logo on Adobe Photoshop.
Awful.
And the website was us literally just going, right, here's the new research, how do we get what? And then the website was starting to get obviously like thousands of hits.
Hits, yeah.
Were the New York Times, I think, declared 2017 as the year of gut health.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh my God, this is something. And then now it's like, I think we're 7th in the world now, down the gut, which is mad.
Which is a pretty amazing thing. I mean, we are going to go through some of like the biggest myths today, and we're going to kind of break down gut health for people that are like really confused by it, don't know where to start, think they might just have a food intolerance. But I know for me, I had eczema, asthma, hay fever, food intolerances,
autoimmune,
but no autoimmune disease, apparently.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think the key thing is we're obviously going to go through all of it today, but if I ask you in one sentence what your mission is with the gut stuff, like, what is the goal of it?
So, like, our mission statement is to empower gut health in everyone.
And to give all
Yeah, and to come on the journey with us and to be inclusive.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of thing in the health and wellness world just now about this luxury elitism. And that's, I mean, we're from working class Scotland, do you know what I mean? If we can get this information to the masses, we could literally save lives with it. And it makes
not
us...
what kale was until we fed it to the rabbit for his birthday. Do you know what I mean? Like, we are not from a health and wellness space. Like, we moved to London. We never had hummus before or an avocado before. And I think
you're deeming hummus as
and this information should be available to
everyone.
And the people that aren't getting it are the people in the regions
that
like
need
our
it
dad
most.
That need it most.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because wellness is still a middle class luxury.
Yeah.
And it will be
And I think with everything in this industry, I think we're constantly talking to the people with eating disorders, the people with heart disease, so the people that already have the illnesses.
Yeah.
Rather than to like the masses. I mean, I've had conversations this week about body image and disordered way of eating, and there's so many places for people to go to when they've already got the issue. But what do you do when you think you might have a surface issue, like it's preventative, isn't it? That's what we're 100%. Trying to do.
And I think that's why, because the easy route to people and the easy route to make money, if you're getting your cynical hat on, is to be reactive to something that's already there.
Yeah.
So you're hitting on people's either insecurities with the beauty industry, worries with clinical things. So it's easy to sell to these people because they need you.
Yeah.
Like, that's why what we've been with the site is that trying to not make it clinical or medical, because we're not doctors for a start.
Yeah.
But also, this should be a preventive thing. So hopefully IBS and IBD doesn't exist for our little cousins.
It's got out of control.
Yeah.
And I think that is, I think, the reason I actually started Alternatively Healthy is when I was working, I had a team of 15 girls, all with IBS, all with hormone problems. Like, hormones is like the biggest thing at the moment as well, I think, in the industry, in a nutshell, from us all overworking, over-exercising, restricting our food.
Yeah.
I noticed that, I was like, there's a missing connection here. Why, all of a sudden, is there an epidemic of people with, like, bloating, stomach issues? Like, what does it come from? Is it years of antibiotic? We'll go into all of this. But I guess, firstly, when we talk about the gut, what are we talking about? What are we actually physically discussing?
Okay,
we'll start from the beginning.
I always do it from the mouth. So because you start digestion in your mouth, and then it travels down to your stomach, to your small intestine, your big intestine, which is, remember, football fields worth of fucking stuff in there. Do you know what I mean? Like, and then your colon, and then out it comes. And actually, all these things behave differently. And we're not a biologist by any means. Like, Megan Ross, the gut health doctor, Eve Koenig, they both describe it brilliantly. So we're not doing injustice by trying to go into it. But all these things behave differently, and foods interact in different places.
Mm-hmm.
So people fully just focus on the stomach.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, I'll take charcoal because that's toxins in my stomach. But it's like, but charcoal's then sucking up all the toxins from your stomach so they don't get to your digestive system. Do you know what I mean? So there's lots of...
I always think of it as like the bacteria. So
the
bacteria outnumber our human cells. I think the latest research has said 10 to 1, but...
20 to 1 I read
yesterday.
Wow.
So it's always changing. But anyway, they outnumber our like human cells. So I always think that there's more of something else that this bacteria, viruses, pathogens living in, around and on us. And we call it in the gut because I think 90 odd percent is in our gut.
Yeah.
So we say, that's why we say gut health, but it's actually all the bacteria everywhere, and that for me is how I can see it in my head.
So it's generally linked to the word bacteria.
But
we need healthy bacteria as well. Bacteria is good for us.
In the 80s, everyone went, bacteria is bad for us, let's sanitize everything and get all the antibacteria. And then this is why I think is a big issue of why we've all got
issues. Obsessed with being
clean.
As we were getting rid of the bad bacteria, we were getting rid of all our good bacteria as well. So
Trevor Lawley, when we met him, so he's the guy basically Theresa May was, he was one of the first people she visited to give coins from the government, because he's currently culturing all the different bacterias and figuring out what they do. And we went to go and see him as part of the series, and he was like, the majority of bacteria is good. And obviously, this is a dangerous thing. E. coli, yes, viruses, fungi, there is bad stuff in there, yeah, that you can't thingy on. But if you can culture the good guys and cultivate the good guys, then the fight is not... I was actually just writing a bit of the book yesterday, and I've done in the book, there's a sneak peek, the bacteria is... I've done it to Game of Thrones, so who the things are and the good guys and the bad guys. So I'm getting the reference in there. But that's how you have to think.
Yeah,
it's that actually
so
you just need to make the big good army...
Bigger.
So
if someone's potentially suffering from a gut health off balance or issues with their gut, what conditions are kind of linked now that they're finding with gut?
I mean,
it's everything.
So
right?
You've always got IBS, IBD, Crohn's, digestive issues.
Mm-hmm.
But then, I mean, cancer, Parkinson's is a direct link. So the vagus nerve is the nerve that goes from your gut to your brain. So they thought that was a one-way system until about 5 years ago, where, you know, you get nervous, you get butterflies.
But the person that discovered Parkinson's 200 years ago had in their initial paper that it all started in the gut, and we just chose to ignore it for that whole time.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So Ray Chowdhury, the guy that's heading up all the research, we went to go and see him, and is it 1 in 80 of us are going to develop Parkinson's?
Something like that.
There's something like the episodes on
the stat is unbelievable.
That is insane. So they've realised that the gut actually not only helps the symptoms, so like the motor neurons, like symptoms, but also can be used as a preventative measure. So the vagus nerve, they actually cut in some treatments of the Parkinson's
years ago
because the signaling is so flaky. But now they've realised that actually just by healing the gut and using that through things, then they can help Parkinson's symptoms.
We were talking about the vagus nerve on my podcast with Rhiannon about its relationship with stress eating.
Massive.
And obviously we're in an epidemic of people that have disordered ways of eating, disordered ways of exercise, they're overworking, stress, anxiety, and I don't think anyone really realises the effect that they're having on what their life's going to look like later down the line. Like, it wasn't for me until recently I got told that my hormones were of that of a 60-year-old, and that if I didn't sort it out, I was going to get osteoporosis and that would maybe be infertile. That was when everything changed for me again. Like, it already changed for me 3 years ago, but I think I'd like lost my way a bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until someone said to me, like, if you do not sort this out, you are going to be very ill when you are 40, 50, or like 30. And I think there's so much more that needs to be
definitely
said about that.
And I think we all, though, diseases is definitely a big thing, but I think we've all lost our way in the past couple of years because we're confused. There's so much information out there. It was this whole thing of like that clean eating thing, and whatever looks good on Instagram is good for your body. And, you know, and I think now we're getting back to the actual science of it. And that's why people are just restocking, retaking and saying, right, actually, we all know that processed food's bad for us, but why? Why?
Yeah.
And that's what we'll ingrain, hopefully, into the next generation.
The immunity thing is pretty scary. Like, we, part of the disease as well, we visited like epigenetics and epidemiologists and all the people, and you can actually mutate your DNA through what you eat. It's mental. So you can change your microbiome, and also, so what you eat affects your kids and your grandkids. So your parents' diet and then their grandparents' diet gets passed on too. So it's not just your microbiome, it's your DNA.
The problem is people just aren't aware of how important it is, and they just go around kind of like everyday life just thinking it's really not a big deal, or they've got nothing to worry about, or it's not going to affect them.
Yeah.
And I think what you're doing is like amazing, because it really sits really closely with what we're doing, and the fact that I think everybody was really unhealthy, nobody was watching their food, we were all eating crap, nobody was really exercising, so that's where the health industry kind of went crazy. And like, great, the work there has now been done, but what we've done is push it so far that we're making ourselves unhealthy again in so many ways. We said IBS and digestive issues, then potentially Parkinson's, cancer. What about things like your hormones? Are they linked or related?
So your hormones, so the bacteria in your stomach, 95% of your sort of serotonin is made in your stomach. Mental. Every time I say that,
brain.
The second brain. But also, you've got the same amount of neurons in there, so that's like another reason you've got the same amount of neurons in your gut. I mean, it's smart. It can like do maths, but it knows how to.
And I also heard something which is obviously really linked to hormones. It's not what you eat, it's what you absorb. Which really resonated with me, because I was like, it doesn't matter
what... take anything in.
But it's the bacteria that help to regulate your hormones and secrete different bits and bobs. We're actually looking to do that on the site and do like a proper... because you can have your bacteria analysed, and we'll get on to this. But the thing to mention probably here as well is that science is still not so new. So until they know exactly what each bacteria do, they're not going to know then how that links to your hormones. But at the minute, at the very bare minimum, they know that there's definitely a link.
Well, I know after I had my bacterial food infection, my hormones were through the roof. I mean, I've always had regular periods, but my skin was awful. I was so irritable, so moody, couldn't get out of bed. I think this is where there's such a link and such a disconnect that hormones also really, really severely linked to your relationship with exercise, to your relationship with food. And I think that's where the connection now I'm noticing is all these podcasts I'm doing. Girls are going to the gym 6-7 times a week. They're killing it. They're watching what they're eating all the time because we feel like we have to be healthy, we have to be clean, and we have to not eat a bad bit of food anymore. But it's in our minds. It's actually all a mindset thing. Because if you don't go to the gym, you're guilty. If you eat a bit of chocolate bar, you're guilty. So it's not necessarily what we're putting it in, it's what we're doing to our minds.
And it's comparing ourselves. If we as identical twins cannot eat the same thing or do the same thing as everyone else, nobody can. So let's use the technology that's coming into play now with testing and sequencing and learning the science, because it's all getting so advanced that we have to listen to it, because what works for one person doesn't work for you. So if we can't be sold it, then nobody can be sold the same diet. So I think as in Western society in general, we've lost our ability to think critically about things. So
we want to be told.
Yeah, we want to be BuzzFeed and find out what they thought of the series last week, or and we want to be told what to do.
That person did to look like that. But also, I think we've lost the ability to listen to ourselves and how we feel more than anything. Like,
the only time I ever tuned in, well, before I ever tuned into my body, was if I was hungover, I'd be like, oh, I feel awful.
Only when you feel like crap that you want to put in the negative. And I literally did a workshop the other day and I was like, when was the last time you asked yourself if you were hungry? Or when was the last time you went to the gym and did something you enjoyed? Or when was the last time you asked yourself what it was you enjoyed in the gym?
What makes me happy?
Yeah. And that's the thing. We're like not tuning in. There's also too much information out there that we don't know who to go to now. And there's been a lot of information out there from uncredible sources or whatever the right word is there. But like, we're following people because they've got an influence, yet they don't actually know what they're talking about.
And they probably bought their followers as well, let's face it.
Yeah, let's face that. So that's the second brain and like the immune system. So that's where that all comes from, is the fact that 90% of it is actually in our guts. That is mad. So my next question was going to be like, how does stress affect our gut?
Massively. So we've got a new series called Dejuice at the minute. Down scientific papers, which is so hard.
It must be so tough to like keep looking at all this science, it's because it's such new science.
Yeah.
The scientific terms, the papers, and then like making it.
I mean, when we interview the scientists, we just say, pretend we're talking.
But there is a way to say it.
So like, think of the microbes as your pets, and we were like, that's easy.
Yeah, I think, so I was supposed to do medicine. I got into doing medicine and then went to drama school, much as like mum and dad.
I was meant to do law and business and went to dance school. So you can imagine it.
First
people ever in our family to get into uni, and we both went, do you know what we're going to do?
Brilliant. But you wouldn't be where you are now.
Although mum still doesn't think we've got a proper job, so.
So there is like a bit of a passion for the science, but I mean, it's hard and it's work. And we've got a team of people around us now that, not that we pay, but like people that we can go,
advisors.
Because actually it's very dangerous, like you were saying about the advice. We've got a proper team of people that we can. Yeah, but I hadn't realised. Obviously, as you know, that some nutritionists and dietitians don't like each other, and then the scientists don't like. I'm like, this is the big problem
in the industry. Yeah. Physiotherapists, osteopaths hate each other. Yeah. Chiropractors hate each other. Like, me and Ree were talking about this, and I was like, to go and see a nutritionist, you have to already admit that you have a food issue.
Yeah.
But so you go and see a PT first. Yeah, we're not qualified to talk to you about your food in that kind of way. You need to have
We all want the same goal. Yeah.
The ones that are
working
together
do. Someone probably needs a dietitian for a day, and then a nutritionist, and then a psychologist. Like, whereas if people knew what each person did, they'd be able to pick. But arguing on Twitter doesn't help the consumer.
Yeah.
So that's the difficult thing. That's the other barrier we're coming up against, is people are so in their little rabbit burrows and holes that they don't see that it's not helping anyone.
So if we're looking at like the conditions, what can cause your bacteria in your gut to kind of go out of whack, or for you to get, like, what are the main key things that people tend to get bad guts from?
So a lot of the things that, like, because we've the Ask Nutritionist thing, we get loads of inbound queries, so I sort of put them into categories about who's thingy. A lot of the things, people have been travelling and picked up a pathogen or a virus. Yeah.
Antibiotics,
massive.
Stress and anxiety.
After people have had a baby, kind of everything goes out of whack.
Limited
processed food.
Yeah, really. And limited knowledge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what about trauma?
Trauma, yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of them, I mean, certainly
different
with us.
Stress, right?
Yeah. And I think you, and probably you're, the thing about these things as well is that because they're multifactorial, like IBS, it could be the fact that when you were going through the trauma, you weren't eating the same things you were doing, your environment wasn't the same. So there's that element, the lifestyle bit, but then the science also says that if you're stressed, about your balance is going to be out and everything.
I think this is where, as a topic, I think people are now way more aware of how important your gut health is. However, it's such a minefield. So, like, I remember breaking down to my mum, and I was 22 or 23, post-uni. My skin was awful, my hormones were awful. I couldn't eat anything because this bacterial food infection gave me gastritis. So my stomach swelled up, so I couldn't eat anything. So I was, like, in a mess, and I was, like, crying to her. And then I started reading about gut health. It was all coming from the US, from my auntie over in the US. And then I got even more confused because that's when I noticed that, like you said, IBS is linked to... It's like autoimmune. Yeah. It's linked to so many other things. It could have been that food that you ate that day. So if you cut out certain foods, how do you know which one it was that you cut out that was right?
100%.
And like, if you're sleeping, like, it's such a combination of things, isn't it? Like, are you getting enough sleep? And so it's, if you were to put it into simple terms to someone, like, how do they even start on, like, making the journey of getting their gut health in the right
place?
Well,
that's the thing. It's like, the science is one thing, but you need a holistic approach, like you guys do, to take everything into consideration. Because a dietitian will give you a very structured view on what you should be eating, whereas a nutritional therapist, for example, will go, have you been sleeping? Well, they've got a different set of questions, and actually we need to be asking ourselves the whole set. The first thing that we say to do, and it's super simple and hardly anyone does it, is to write a food diary. Because then you can spot your triggers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
An absolute mile off.
They put your symptoms as well, so you could have what you've eaten, if you've exercised or not, maybe even what you did that day as a little reminder, like
if you were stressed, if you were anxious,
like, sat and watched Netflix or whatever, and then have your symptoms, also note how many times you're going to the toilet.
Yeah, because that, I'm going to say, that's quite really important.
I mean, I never know. I went into, what were we doing? And someone, Tim, was like, when was the last time you pooed? What were you doing the thing? And I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
And he was like, Lisa, I was like, well, I don't know. Like,
I used to go once a week. How bad is that? Now I go regularly. I can't believe how ill I must have been going once a week.
And how rubbish you feel. Because I always think when you've held it, you've not had it for ages, I can almost like imagine the toxins still going. Like
from your poo. I remember going to the doctors once. It's a really gross tune off if you don't listen to poo. But I remember,
hashtag poo chat.
I remember going to the doctors and I thought I had lumps in my stomach. This was when I was like rock bottom, didn't know what was going on anymore. Mm. I'd always been gluten and dairy free. So I was like, my food is really not an issue, like that's
it,
not I'm really on top of this. I take supplements, I sleep, like I really don't understand anymore. I remember going to her because I kept feeling lumps and having stomach aches, and she literally felt my stomach and she was like, babe, that's poo. All the way up until your like the top of your stomach is poo. And I was like, oh my god, that embarrassing. But it really hit home to me, like people don't talk enough about it, but obviously there's,
it's mental. We all poo.
Yeah.
Just like we all are born and we all die. It's one of the only certainties in life that we're all going to poo.
I know. So true.
But there is like the food diary and then like the Bristol stool chart. It's a good thing to
start
figure
with.
Out. Yeah. And yeah, obviously we'll get on to
so
like
symptoms
tips.
Like IBS and all of those sort of things. But is there anything really weird symptom-wise that people might have, or like might link to the fact that actually they need to look at their gut rather than them having anything else. It could actually just be their gut health.
Yeah, well, if you go to a gastroenterologist, mm-hmm. or you can go and get your bacteria sequence. We'll talk about that thingy, but they'll give you you do a breath test first, so you know how much methane you're producing or how much different. I think it's methane. Amazing. I can't remember. So the acid test is quite a good way. So Eve Callant taught us this. It's like a bicarbonate soda. It's on our website. And how many times you burp shows how much acid you've got in your stomach. So you're supposed to have lots of acid. People think, no acid today.
Yeah.
But you need lots of acid in your stomach
to break down the food. And a lot of people with acid reflux think they have too much acid, but a lot of the time they don't have enough
because it's just swimming.
So if I burp a lot, what does that? I burp so much.
That's good. It means you've got a lot of acid in there.
Everyone tells me I'm really ill because I burp a lot.
No, see, the burping and farting thing is the burping and farting thing.
You're supposed to 14 times a day or something like that.
Fart 14 times a day.
I do fart a lot, but I must do quite a lot of that in my sleep.
I might retitle this, Do You Fart 14 Times? Yeah. Oh my God. See, this is the thing. It's such a minefield. Okay, then the last question, before we go on to some of the myths, mm-hmm. how does it affect weight gain? What's the relationship between weight and your gut health?
Loads of new research out with obesity and gut health. Very, very, very new. Definitely worth reading, though. I think they're up on our site. If not, we'll put them up of all the new. But again, so personalised.
The thing about it is, there is a link to how your body breaks down the food and your metabolism and metabolites and how and why they are produced.
Mm-hmm.
For example, with Alana and I, like I said about the Crisinsinella, we hardly talk about that because people are going to go, right, let's make Crisinsinella into a pill and we'll do that. But actually, you don't want that because that's just another quick fix like anything else.
Yeah.
So there's loads of studies in mice. We need more studies in humans. But there's lots of studies in mice. We just did a video on that. So there was trials done over 70 years. They've done loads of RCT studies, which is the best type of study. And systematic review is when they take all of them to mm-hmm. figure out what it is. So over 70 years, and it's still not conclusive about obesity. There is definitely links. That video comes out next week on that. Okay, we do a video on all the studies.
Yeah, amazing.
That one was tough. And the outtakes is basically all that video. Because we're this is so hard. So there's links, but still very new.
Very, very new.
But loads of people say, we interviewed the guy that runs La Fromagerie, the cheese place, and he's been eating loads of cheese with loads of bacteria and raw milk and stuff, and he said he's lost loads of weight.
Really?
And a lot of the stuff there that talk about it is still anecdotal, so it's still people just telling their stories. But a lot of the things that you can do with gut health, eating more plant-based veg, blah, 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 will probably help.
Yeah, well, we'll go on to at the end some of the things that people can change in their lifestyles just for quick fixes. We like quick fixes anywhere.
Yeah,
in the world,
easy
changes that they can do to their lifestyle, because I think we obviously probably already do them, but I always forget sometimes in this industry that there are plenty of people out there who aren't physically, just don't even know where to start.
And we're very much 80-20. I mean, we still love going out drinking loads of water.
This is the thing. I'm at the point now where I'm do I need to just give up alcohol, because I can't handle it, but I don't want to. But now I'm going to just literally go over some of the myths that kind of face the industry about gut health and where all the confusion is, and hopefully it will be able to give some people things to take away. So the first myth is, I need to have clinical digestive issues to care about my gut health.
No, you don't. The thing is, the thing that I always think is, when people go about the gut, they either think beer belly, they think poo, they think, but actually it affects absolutely everything and everyone.
Neither of us have, thank goodness, at the minute, have digestive issues.
Yeah.
And it's such a fundamental part of what we put in our bodies and how we treat the guts, our bugs and all that in there. We need to create a good environment for them, all of us do, so that we can hopefully, as we were talking before, can be for prevention and not just when we have a problem.
I think we need to just in general switch everyone's mindset to being a little bit more preventative.
Yeah. Well, I think the NHS, we've got an amazing healthcare system, but unfortunately it's built on symptoms, because it has to be. But we've all talked about before, our doctors don't have to have 1 hour, even 1 hour of nutrition.
Yeah.
So what we find as well, those people go to Dr. IBS and they go, are you stressed? Just don't be stressed. And it's that's not really helping me. Yeah. I'm just shit in a bush and going to work. Gut health, there's so much broad things that you can do to help that are really easy to
just
try
simple
to
changes.
Yes.
And we definitely need to make sure we go on to them. But fibre is bad. So I think this came from the cutting out the carbs.
Yeah.
Low carb diets.
Fibre, you forget what's in it. You forget what fibre is. We were like, is that all bran?
Yeah.
Or Kellogg's?
Yeah.
But actually, so when it comes to gut health, there is a hierarchy of fibre that's different to the fibre that we associate with other things.
Interesting.
So prebiotic inulin, which can be found in a lot of stuff, is the best. It's the chief king of fibre. It's like a basically like a fertiliser for your good bacteria.
So yeah, I was going to say this just before you go any further. Obviously there's probiotics, but there's a lot of talk about probiotics, which we'll talk about, but prebiotics are just as important, aren't they?
Yeah, so people, actually more studies are finding that prebiotics might be more important and easier way to get in, because they feed the good bacteria.
It's basically the food for the
bacteria. But the bacteria are transient, so you put them back out. Whereas the prebiotics, they've bought the house, they've got the mortgage.
So it's like the food, and the probiotic is the replenishing.
Yeah. If we don't know what bacteria feeds what, we know that prebiotics feed the bacteria, the good bacteria that's in there.
Interesting.
So with the bacteria, what you're putting in, you don't necessarily know what you need, but at least the prebiotics are feeding the good stuff that you've already got.
Yeah.
Do you know, does that make sense? Yeah. Or is that, am I confusing you more?
It's like anything in this world, to survive, you need food.
Yeah. So, yeah, fibre's a great way. The sort of king and queen of fibre and the highest in prebiotic inulin are chicory and Jerusalem artichoke.
Which we've never heard of.
Yeah.
Which nobody eats.
But you're now in, like, my local Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I
you
love
get them everywhere.
Jokes.
And then there's, like, leeks, bananas. There's stuff in the centre of it.
Garlic.
Loads of things that have got... What were we talking about? A field of leeks the other day. There's some stat...
Wow.
It's like a field of leeks and some...
And they're all foods that people are not
eating.
Easy
peasy, no.
Yeah, but they're so easy to get.
As a nation in Western society, we eat round about half our daily intake of fibre. So we should all take...
What is it? It's meant to be something like
16 grams. Yeah.
16 grams is a lot of fibre. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about... I just think really what happened is people were cutting out carbs, and with that, a lot of fibre comes in, like, veg as well, but...
Yeah.
I noticed that was a big thing for me as to why I wasn't going to the toilet.
Yeah, well, we starved ourselves. It's a thing that... feeds our community in there, and it's like a really easy, I think that it's like a, although I will say as a caveat, if you have a digestive issue, double check with your GP and stuff, because upping your fibre, even for people with a good gut, really quickly can make you go to the toilet. Double check if you do have digestive issues.
And they're all on your site as well, all the foods that are like high in fibre and the best kind of foods that they should get, so make sure you're checking that out. And then pickles are good for me. What is that myth?
So pickles,
we love pickles.
When we first were told this, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever heard, because we, even when we have a dirty martini,
you mean fermented
you can
stuff,
get,
right?
Yeah, so you can get pickled onion in your dirty martini, which is called Gibson, and we found out, we're like, well, this is the best. And then we were like, yeah, pickles, but actually it has to be fermented, so it has to create its own lactic acids, which is what happens when you... So not just...
Gherkin Japan jars at the chippy.
I'm obsessed with fermented food. However, I do notice whenever I have it, I actually get... bloated, or like a stomach ache, but I guess that's just because it's doing what it's meant to do.
Yeah, and smaller amount. So
build it up. Like, actually, someone sent us probiotic hot sauce yesterday. I was like,
wow,
that tastes amazing. So there's lots of like different ways to get fermented foods in. You can put sauerkraut in your smoothies.
I really like that.
I really like sour pickled foods. We pickled some when we were in LA this week for my sister, and it's a job. It's a big job to ferment food. Like,
everyone's like, you must have like a big fermented food in your kitchen. No.
You can get fermented foods from, I know you can get it from Whole Foods. Where else is the best place to get
it? Planet Organic. But actually, Sainsbury's.
Really?
Loads now.
Perfect.
Yeah. Marks and Spencer's have got kefir now.
Because kefir is a probiotic.
Yep. It's basically fermented milk.
And what about people that are dairy intolerant? Can they have that?
Kombucha, water kefir.
Mm-hmm. And coconut kefir, what's the deal with that?
So I always say, I mean, double check with GP if you've got a problem, but it is trial and error with these things. Some people have kefir and go, I've had it for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And you've either been having too much or your body just doesn't like it. Yeah. That's totally fair enough. There's so many other things that you can do.
Oh, you might just not like the taste. Like, fermented foods are required.
It's interesting that you say too much, because I remember when Tess and I were away and we had loads of kombucha and it gave us thrush.
Bacteria.
Yeah.
Another thing we get asked about loads, and I went for acupuncture the other day for my marathon injury, and the guy was like, have you ever heard of gut health? And you're like,
Do you know who I am?
No. And apparently my ileocecal valve isn't working, which is like the thing where it stops the toxins going in, and apparently that's what I'm like. I mean, I'm not sure if I believe it or not.
Interesting. Candida is something super linked, right? I think I've been diagnosed with that like 4 times.
Yeah,
like,
so we're doing a big thing on it on the site, because you're supposed to, speaking of fibre, this is the thing where it gets thingy, you have to cut out like roughage, so things that are like, you've got like skins and stuff, just for a bit, and that you don't not most have brands and grains and stuff if you've got candida issues, just until your body gets
you
under
get
control.
Over it.
Yeah, but we're definitely doing something on that, because loads of people have asked us.
Well, like, I was in Air One in LA, if anyone's ever been there, it's like Whole Foods on crack. And it's just phenomenal. And recently I've been getting dandruff, my hair's been falling out on my like eyebrows really easily, I've been getting really itchy, and I think I have not been looking after my gut that well. And the guy was like to me, have you thought about the fact that you might have candida again?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh god, because I just knew what a process it was of cutting out. So like, what roughage should you be cutting out, like anything?
So it's like skins and no raw. So cook everything. Yeah. So like Jasmine Hemsley says that in her Ayurveda thing, like don't have raw food.
Yeah.
Eve Kalnick says no raw after 4.
Okay.
Which is quite a good rule. Yeah. You can kind of stick by that if you want to have your dinner.
Yeah.
But again, like we're saying about all the different advice, try different things and see what
works.
Like, write it all down and see what works for you.
And like food with high sugars in. Even like I remember when I did it before, I had to cut sweet potato out for a bit.
Yeah.
Because it's quite high in like natural sugars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you have to remember that that's just for a bit.
Exactly.
But when you're resetting, it's like...
In 6 weeks is what they say, like 4 to 6 weeks.
God, it's like a world of...
I know.
The whole world. And then the next one was that all bacteria is bad for you. So we've obviously already covered the importance of...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The good guys.
The good guys
in
you.
I think there's like simple things that you can do as well. Like in Western society, obviously we have become so sterile. And that's purely from like hand rubs to our processed food. It's absolutely packed with emulsifiers.
Yeah, oh my god.
And what
god.
Those emulsifiers do is literally, we've seen it in the laboratories, they literally just like snuff out the good bacteria. It's like they just go and they disappear, all the good bacteria. It's like total minefield for them. So like we went to go and see when we went to with Sandrine Klaus, it was like, let your dog lick you for a bit, let your
let the dog lick the baby,
let the dog lick the baby.
Oh my god,
like you don't have to.
It's so important. Yeah. I've got friends that have got kids and they're super like, have you washed your hands before you hold my child? And I'm like, no, I've got poo all over it and I'm gonna rub it all over your child. It's so important. It gets it. Like I don't know why we've become so obsessed with being clean.
And it means our immune systems can't cope with anything, because what's when kids go to school, they can't cope with
it. But then the main debate that sort of like encompasses that, it's like a really interesting thing to read up on, is raw milk.
Yeah.
So pasteurised milk, the process that it has to go through until it gets to us is like so clinical. Like they basically strip all the good bits out. But raw milk also quite dangerous, because it might have pathogens and viruses and stuff in it from the cows that you didn't know were there. So that's like a, just to read up on, it's just quite a really good example to show. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised you girls are doing a book, because there's just an endless amount of place to start. And a lot of them we've covered now. So like, if you're skinny, does that mean your gut's healthy? We've linked it quite a lot to your weight. The food intolerance test thing is something I do want to talk about, because when I spoke to Rhea about it on our podcast there, she was literally like, there's been no proven tests that food intolerance tests even work.
Yeah.
Well, a really interesting thing Tim Spector told us is that food intolerance, the first one was actually detected in the 60s. So before that, it wasn't even a thing, or no one reported it. But I actually think it probably wasn't a thing. I think
so. The potential people that are celiac is absolutely tiny.
Yeah, because you have to have the gene to be celiac, don't you? Yeah.
So like, there is no blood test that's gone through clinical trials that will tell you what food intolerance you have. And then even like, when you can have your microbiome tested now. And we're like obviously looking really into it, because we're trying to get people resources and tools to do it. Bacteria is transient, so you'd have to have it like we did every day in order to get a good reading. But I'm saying that there is nutritional therapists, really good ones, that do a test to check for the things that you had, like pathogens and bacteria.
What did I have? When I found out I had the bacterial thing, that was from a poo and a blood test.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when I actually found out about being, I think lactose intolerance was from a blood test too, but I actually had this thing where they put the food on my body and then looked at how I reacted to it, or what might happened on like this screen. At the time, she was like, yeah, chicken's not good for you, and so many foods that I was eating. She was like, it might just be because your gut is in a state of alert at the moment. It doesn't want anything.
Exactly. Like, I just don't believe
your body goes through cycles.
Yeah, that one reading is going to tell you that.
Yeah,
especially when it says you're allergic to wine, you're like, hell no.
Yeah.
I'm just lying.
You know that one.
You're lying.
So people can still drink wine. And what about coffee?
It's good.
High
polyphenols.
Obviously, I cut coffee out just because it was giving me anxiety.
Well, caffeine obviously isn't great for you, but I love it, and I love the high it gives me and that sort of thing. But actual coffee, the coffee beans and what red wine especially, is really high in polyphenols, which is great for your gut.
Wine.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Medicinal red, that's a hard one.
Yeah, I love that.
It's turned into 7 bottles, but like, you can also get sulfate-free wine, which is
organic.
Yeah. Which you do not get a hangover on, can I just say?
Yes.
And oh my god, it's ridiculous.
Although we do, like, we buy the expensive organic stuff and then we'll have a Blossom Hill after. We're like, oh, we're drunk. We're like, oh, I've done it all. Oh, well.
But yeah, I mean, again, it is expensive. But yeah, coffee, the only thing about coffee is sometimes it can be the caffeine that irritates your gut. So we did like a gut reset. We gave up caffeine, and it stabilises your mood so much that, you know.
Okay, so next question then, I guess. I mean, there's obviously a world of information out there, and guys listening, I could not recommend any more that you check out the website, because you can kind of depict the different areas that suit you. But if somebody was looking to do a little bit of a gut reset or some just simple lifestyle changes that they could make to their life that they might not already be doing, to make sure that, like, to like help at least begin the process, what things
so
would you say?
So if you want to do a reset, I would look at Jeanette Hyde's The Gut Makeover. It's a really good book. It's quite restrictive. You don't have any fun on it.
Yeah.
But
and remember, that is literally only for a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's for 1 month. But it's a really good
What's
way.
It
you
called?
Have it, The Gut Makeover.
Okay.
It's a really good way to take everything out and put it back in slowly to figure out what your triggers are. So that's really good. In terms of like broad stroke things, again, like we said before, all really personalised. Until they know what each bacteria do, we'll not know what everyone can do for themselves. But variety, so plant-based veg is the best way to get loads of variety. I personally, I've got a chalkboard in the house and I put 40 veg on it and try and check them off. Each week.
And do you know what the biggest problem is? Is a lot of people have been doing food prep and meal plans, and with that means they're eating the same food every day. Sweet potatoes, rice, chicken, broccoli.
Yeah.
That's like all that
gets. No, or get like Kent Veg Box I've signed up to, and I get...
So it's 13 quid a week?
I got yesterday 3 things in it, I don't know what they are. I was like, what on earth is this? Fine, but it's exciting and it forces you to be experimental.
And I think in Western society, there's something like 267 vegetables available to us here, and we eat on average 6 in the UK.
Many. So
prebiotics and probiotics, which I've said, so you can either get that through supplements, but you can get them through.
And you would recommend Simprove for probiotics?
Well, yeah, they've gone through a lot of clinical trials.
Okay.
So, but there are
should everyone take different
there.
Probiotics depending on their different... needs, or
well, it's difficult to say because you're literally throwing shit at the wall because you don't know what bacteria you're deficient in.
Yeah,
so
you could be spending a lot of money on
like
a probiotic.
There's freeze dried probiotics, obviously the liquid one, the Simprove. You'll be able to tell, like, in our website, you go into this what brands have been through the studies and what ones haven't. But supplements, everyone goes supplements are food. Food is great, but if you're traveling, you're working late, you can't get it in, then. Supplements is a good way to top it up.
And Simprove's good because it's a shot in the morning, and who doesn't like shots, eh?
Shot.
Probiotics, so that's also fermented foods.
Yeah. Getting your stress under control.
Stress and anxiety.
It's very easier said than done, but I think knowing the link helps.
The big link.
Sometimes.
I just think
knowing that exists.
Yeah, I've incorporated so much more quiet time in my life, meditation, and I have to say, it's so interesting since doing that. A lot of the things I was intolerant to, I can now eat.
I can't remember
the last time I was bloated because I'm not stressed.
Yeah. Oh my God, when you go on holiday, this is purely from my actual, when I go on holiday, I'm absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I'm like, how am I eating all this stuff, drinking all this bevy,
because you're chilled out.
I'm not stressed.
Yeah.
And that's also obviously much easier than done. Fiber, like...
incorporate more fibre.
Try and get that in. Reducing alcohol obviously helps.
Yeah.
We're not drinking out the marathon and I am so dull. But we're going to try it when we finish to just drink once a week.
Exercise, big links there.
Any particular kind of exercise though? Has there not been any links between like really high intensity exercise and actually releasing more stress?
So they did a big trial on a big rugby team, and I think it was a national level, and they noticed the correlation between the players that were in full training and not.
Like Imogen, that's doing some work for us, her whole master's was on sports and the microbiome. So there's loads of studies out there. It's new, but from again anecdotal. Yoga, digestive twists, it's like feeling all that sort
of stuff. I did yin yoga last night, and I have to say, I could feel my digestive system rumbling, and everyone was walking out there farting, running to the toilet.
Yeah,
I was like, oh my God.
And it's like quiet, and you're like, oh God.
Yeah, an hour and a half of just like sitting in a position that's going to make you poo.
Yeah,
like,
but also for the mind as well, like that's
amazing.
Introducing fermented stuff, obviously. Like, we're actually starting gut health starter packs, which is a good way to start. So they launch on the 7th of May.
What's
from them? Scoby to start your own kombucha, kefir starter cultures,
tea,
inulin powder.
Oh my
tea
God,
to make your Simprove.
We've got in there tiger nuts.
Recipes, tiger nuts for fiber.
And
veg check blends.
Just a sign up subscription and they get to
it's not something we're just doing one offs to see first. Yeah.
If we can shift them and then if we can shift them and then.
Yeah. What else is coming from you guys this year? Book?
Book. Will be next year now.
When, what's that going to just. general or?
It's going to be more like a journal, so like your best friend.
Aye.
hopefully.
yeah, I mean, writing a book.
And it's and we're going to pull in lots of experts as well, so it won't just be our guys, which is important.
Which is great. And then you've got your supper clubs that you host regularly. Are they like one's coming
they're
up?
They're
going to
be coming up. Yes, you've got one with Tibbetts Planet Organic.
RIBS one next week. 26.
It's just sold out now.
Where's that one?
It's Lumiere.
Lumiere and Southwark. Yeah. 100 people have sold out in a week, so that was a bit like, yeah, so we'll be doing another one of them for sure.
Yeah.
And then we've got a 6-part series starting off every month. So our supper clubs, we were going to too many supper clubs where at one end we were going to gut health ones and have a tiny bit of sauerkraut and pay £90.
Yeah.
And there's like 10 people there and it's really formal. And then we were going to supper clubs of Jam and Smoke Boys, drinking loads of whiskey, getting really drunk and having deep fried food. So we were like to them, is there somewhere in the middle?
Yeah.
That, and supper clubs were again like a middle class luxury, it's like £100 to go. So we're like, right, let's make it £40.
Yeah.
You get a 4-course dinner, you learn loads, so everyone becomes a scientist, you get a scientist jacket, and
oh,
each course
I love
is done.
That.
And like we time each course, that's another thing, chew your food. So you should be chewing your food at least 20 to 30 times. It's so hard. We've got little mini timers at home. So you just get one of those wee
egg
timers.
You've got timers. They need to be in your pack.
Yeah, I know.
Slow eating and getting off your phone and relaxing.
And we're hoovers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm a hoover, oh my God, because I'm also in a rush all the time.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, well.
And then the site, obviously, we've got
educate yourself.
Loads of new content, got new series coming out with different people. We've taken like different aspects of gut health and gone back to scientists and been like, right, where
how do you
guys
sleep?
I don't know.
Well,
do you know what? I said this before you came in a story. I was like, the pursuit of making other people healthy is making me extremely unhealthy.
Yes,
exhausted.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
although it's been really good actually, marathon training, because we haven't been drinking
and
we've all been doing exercise and working.
Yeah.
So I've been going to bed at 10 o'clock every night and having 8 hours sleep. It's been great.
It's one of the marathons. Do you know what? I do love, I have heard some people talking about their process towards a marathon. As much as I hate running, I take my hat off to anyone that allows so much stuff to come and
life,
be incorporated
lifestyle
into your
change.
Life.
And I think for us, like for me, like we, you'll be the same in this industry and most industries with work stuff. You never quite reach your goals because you're always on to the next thing. So like, we came off stage.
Your list never ends.
Yeah. And we came off stage in Edinburgh, like at Hugh Monet, 80,000 people, and literally said, what's next?
I was like,
do you know what I mean? We didn't even enjoy it. So with the marathon, reaching those goals and actually having
tangible
an end.
Goals, it's really
good. That's the thing. It's being present, isn't it? We're talking about it so much to other people, but I think when we're in this industry, it's very easy to like not realise the work that you're doing. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
I think there's a world of knowledge out there for you guys to go and get, so definitely go and check out their website. It's www.thegutstuff.com.
Yeah.
Glad I got that right.
We went
where all their information will be below you in the bio of this podcast. But yeah, here's to healthier guts.
Yay.
Here's to healthier guts. But thank you so much for tuning in and we will see you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to the Alternatively Healthy Wellness Podcast Series by Becky Rabin. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Please feel free to leave your comments and feedback below and don't forget to give us a lovely little rating. For more information on our podcasts, other episodes, and to find out more about what we do, please visit www.alternativelyhealthy.co.uk. And remember, shaping the healthiest version of you means looking purely at you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.